The book of Genesis, chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. For the last 3 weeks, we have been in a series called Unsubscribe. This is a series where we are invited into a fast. We started a few weeks ago for 40 days leading up to Easter. You've been invited to unsubscribe from something for 40 days fasting. And as we fast, we're also considering some themes and some topics and some ideas that we need to unsubscribe from. It's clutter and stuff in our lives that we need to get rid of so that we can enrich and enliven our experience with God. I use the imagery of my email box. I have still over 50,000 emails in my email box, and many of them I need to go into the email and I need to unsubscribe so that I will stop receiving these emails. And prayerfully, if I sit down and do that, my email experience will be better. Well, if I'm looking to enrich my email experience, it would seem more important that I enrich my journey with God. And there are some things that we need to unsubscribe from. Last week, we considered unsubscribing from the past, you know, things that just hold us up because we have clinging to the past. We also, as a part of this journey of fasting, we are providing journals, unsubscribed journals, which include biblical passages and meditation reflections written by some church members, some friends of mine from all over. So those are in the back, and you can use those if you would like. Now, this morning, gotta be honest, I wanna hurry up and finish this lesson. I wanna get right in and get through it. We have so many things going on. We got so many things on our plates, not just, you know, Christy and I and my family, but I'm sure many of you have so many things that you have to do. We got so much to get done. So let's get started. Let's continue. We don't have a lot of time, and we need to get it all done. Now this is the reason we have to do things that don't make a lot of sense in our lives, because like we're in a hurry, and you know, we need things to happen quickly and faster. You know, like for example, you know, when you turn on the water in the kitchen sink and you need hot water, do you realize that many of us will put our hands under the water and start rubbing, thinking that it's going to make the water get hot faster? We need the water to get fast, so we just start rubbing and thinking like I'm just. Hey y'all, it's not going to happen, right? Or listen, you're at your company, your workplace, and you got to get on the elevator, and the elevator's not coming. So what do? We keep pressing the button. I'm telling you, I've done this for years. It doesn't work. It doesn't come faster. Or when you're on the elevator and everyone gets off, you start pressing the close button like several times, like hurry up. Because why? Because we're in a hurry. We have to get there. There's some things that we do thinking it's going to cut time. You know, I live off of Taylor Road in Reynoldsburg, and there's a Kroger on the corner there, Kroger and Main Street, and there are two lights that, and it just gets backed up, and if you get caught in there, you got to wait to turn right. So, hey, I'm in a hurry to get to church, so what do? I cut through Kroger parking lot. I'm pretty sure that's illegal, but I do it several times. And because, listen, I'm in a hurry. That works. Something else that works, you know, our cell phones. We have cell phones that just rule the day. They're just a part of our lives. Oops, sorry. That's embarrassing. Okay, so they just rule our lives, and we have so many things going on that we, you know, we got to make sure that we don't miss. Oh, wait a minute. That's kind of important. Okay, I'll call back. So we have a lot of things going on, and we use it so often. I know my kids are always on their cell phones. My daughter, Kira, oh my goodness, she's on her cell phone all the time, and what does she need to do at the end of the day, or sometimes in the middle of the day? She needs to charge her phone. There's another text, okay. All right. We have to charge our phone because they're going off all the time, and if, let me put that on buzz. That's, I mean, I got so much to do. I told y'all. There's so many things. What you can do if you want to charge your phone, if you're you know, able to charge your phone, you want it to charge faster, you know what you do? Put it in airplane mode. Did you know that? If you put it in airplane mode and you plug your phone up, it will charge faster. We need our cell phones, and we don't have time for it to die on us, and I don't have time to sit around and wait an hour for my phone to charge. I need like 30 minutes for my phone to charge, and it will charge faster if you put it in airplane mode. Listen, we're in a hurry. We've got to get some things done. Hurry. Many of you every week, I'm sure, want me to hurry and finish my sermon. I get that. I talk a lot. But it's in a good place. I don't demonize you. You're busy. You've got a lot to do. We got to go eat lunch. You know, today, my daughter, you know, she needs to go home and pack. You know, I told her to pack last night, but, you know, she's got to go home and pack. And, you know, she's got to get picked up, driven back to college. Christy, she's traveling to Japan tomorrow. She needs to pack. She's got to, you know, prepare to, you know, she's still trying to learn how to use chopsticks. She's got to work on that. I need to finish some homework. Kira, she needs to do some laundry and prepare for school tomorrow. She's got volleyball practices, and we have so much to do, so little time to do it in. Here's a schedule of a family. And it illustrates, I mean, as filled as that calendar looks like, many of us, that's what our, how many people's calendars look similar to this? Be honest. This is the modern American family. We have so much to do, and there are still only 24 hours in the day. We don't have enough time to get it all done. Add to that a phone that chirps or buzzes every 3 minutes and 60,000 emails to read. How many here can relate to the suffocating busyness and the attraction to getting as much as we can get done by doing things in a hurry? So that's why, church, this morning, I think that we need to consider unsubscribing from hurry. There is an actual thing called hurry sickness. It is something that is plaguing individuals and causing them to become physically sick because they are consumed with this idea that there is just too little time and I have to get as much done as possible, and I have to get it done. It's hurry sickness. Seriously, how many people here wish, man, I wish I had just an extra 30 minutes or an extra hour a day? How many people here regularly gets 8 hours of sleep? Raise your hand. A few of you. I mean, everyone will tell you that our bodies cannot operate at full capacity on less than 8 hours of sleep. Yet most of us, if we get 3 or 4 hours, we're happy. And we wish we had more time, if not just so that we can get some extra sleep. There's an author and coach and trainer by the name of Jeremy Rifkin who wrote this quote. And this quote is, it hit me between, you know, both my eyes. It might do the same to you. This is what he writes, quote, "We are a nation in love with speed. We drive fast, we eat fast, and make love fast." I'm just saying, it's just truth. We are obsessed with breaking records and shortening time spans. We digest our life, condense our experiences, and compress our thoughts. We are a culture surrounded by memos and commercials. While other cultures might believe haste makes waste, we are convinced that speed reflects alertness, power, and success. Americans are always in a hurry. And it is ironic that in a culture so committed to saving time, we feel increasingly deprived of the very thing we value. Despite our alleged efficiency, we seem to have less time for ourselves and far less time for each other. We have quickened the pace of life only to become less patient. See what he's saying here? We do all of these things. We have life hacks. We do all these things to save time, and we still say we don't have enough time. We do all these things to get in a hurry, to save time, and we still don't have time for one another. We're addicted to speed, breaking records so that we can have more time, and we complain that I wish we had more time. You might recall in the first week of this series, I quoted Matthew 11, 28 and 30 from the Message translation, and I zeroed in on Matthew 11, 28, which says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest." Busyness and hurry has taken our breaths away. We are tired. We're worn out. Quite frankly, we are not doing well. We are not doing so good, church. We need Jesus to give us our lives back. We need Jesus to show us how to rest and to recover our lives. Now, it's important for us to look to God first. The creator of our world, in powerful and breathtaking fashion, created the heavens and the earth, the waters and the sky, the stars and the moon. He created every moving creature, from the mosquito to the elephant, from the aardvark to the zebra. His crowning feat was the creation of humans. He created male and female on the sixth day. After all, He created male and female, and he said it was very good. And after that, you know what God did? He took a nap. He stopped. He took a break. It says on the seventh day, God rested. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. God, who is in control of over everything and has to take care and maintain more than we could ever imagine. You want to look at God's calendar and his schedule? God took a break. You think we have busy schedules? What about the creator? God rested, though, even with his schedule. We were made in God's image. God said, "Let us make humans in our image." We were made to be like God. So why do we think that we can just keep going and going and going and going without a break, without a rest. It's not how we were created. That is unrealistic, yet that is what many of us have chosen as our default setting. God commanded Israel to observe Sabbath. There are two direct calls to Sabbath. The first one was in Exodus when Moses received the Ten Commandments, and God said to Moses to tell to the people, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slaves, your livestock or the alien resident in your towns. Everyone was supposed to stop. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it, made it holy. You see that part of them observing the Sabbath was to imitate God because they were made in his image. Do you see that, church? That makes sense? Now, there's another instance and command for the Sabbath. And it's interesting to note the second time that the commandment is given. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and verse 12. In verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. And then he begins to repeat the same things that he says in Exodus chapter 20. But in verse 15 of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, there's a slightly different reason. You know, there's a therefore. Verse 15, he says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God recognized that in Egypt, Israel was working Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then they did it all over again. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, happy days. They worked all those days without a break, without a rest. And when God brought them out of Egypt, he said, it is time that you invoke a healthy rhythm in your life. You work for 6 days, and on seventh day, you stop. You rest. You enjoy the day. You play. You relax. The reason here, again, in Deuteronomy, it seems that Sabbath was to be observed was that for 400 years, Israel did not have a break. Humans were not created to go and go and go and go without a break. That might be good for batteries. It's not good for humans. Our schedules are not getting any lighter. The to-do lists are growing and not shrinking. And perhaps the way to get more things done is to get more rest. This is not a call to laziness or idleness. It is a call to living in a life that was designed by God. How did Jesus accomplish so many things? Jesus only lived on the, you know, he lived on the earth for 33 years and he only did ministry for 3 years. But he got so much done and accomplished. He finished so many things. I think one of the reasons he did is because he rested. He, as a human, fully God, fully human, he, as a human, knew he had limits. Here's an example in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse number 15. It says, now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. But he, speaking of Jesus, would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Some of your translations are lonely places. Some of your translations says he would withdraw to solitary places. There were days where Jesus says, I got to get out of here. I need Calgon. I need a break. There were times in scripture that the crowds became so overwhelming that he would say to his disciples, okay, time, let's go get in the boat. Let's get in the boat and let's go over to the other side. I gotta take a break. It's okay to break, Dion. I'm talking to myself. I'm like many of us. I want to get as much done as I possibly can because I feel like we're losing. I got to get it done. I'll stay up to 3-4 in the morning because I want to get things done, knowing I need to go to bed and get some sleep. If we want to learn how to unsubscribe from hurry and recover our lives, we need to look to Jesus. You see, he knew what he was doing. Church, for a few months, you have heard me talk about our church's developing vision for the future. We want to make disciples by connecting people to God and connecting people to people and connecting people to purpose. When you hear the word disciple, know that we are referring to following Jesus in all aspects and areas of life. This includes a life that includes intentional moments of pause and rest and slowing down. To follow Jesus is to follow him into the deserted and lonely places, solitary places for rest, for retreat, for renewal. Call it Sabbath, call it taking a break, call it taking a vacation, or what I'm suggesting this morning, call it unsubscribing from hurry. In the Gospel of Luke, there is a fascinating narrative. It's included in the Gospel of Luke. And it's a story about Jesus interacting with a few of his followers, some close friends. Their names were Mary and Martha. Listen to this short story from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse number 38. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, I don't know about you, but I've interacted with this passage many times in the past and heard several sermons on this passage, and there are several books written on this passage. And, you know, are you a Mary person or are you a Martha person? You know, are you a Martha person that, like, has to be busy and got to get things done? Or are you a Mary person who just kind of sits and, you know, staring at the stars and dream? And there's a, you know, hey, be who you are, but we need to understand that, you know, there are Mary people and there are Martha people. And that's certainly a great lesson. Nothing wrong with that. Not sure that's the point of this text, though. Not sure that's the point of this text. I mean, Jesus is pretty clear in this story what's going on. And he's pretty clear at calling someone out. I'm not saying that this text is making a winner and a loser, but Jesus is definitely trying to say something in this interaction. I am saying that the point of this text is that as Mary was experiencing time with Jesus, that there arose a teachable moment for Martha. You see, church, Martha was in a hurry. She wanted to get some things done. Jesus speaks to Martha directly and puts Martha's hurriedness in perspective. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and, listen at the word he uses, you're distracted. You're distracted by many things. You see, hurriedness creates a world of distractions. It's an unstable place. Mary, Jesus says, has chosen the better part, stillness, and a posture of learning from Jesus. Recall the text from Matthew. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I was listening to a preacher talking on this topic of busyness and hurry. And he said he was meeting with a friend of his that told him that he needed to get some Central Park in his life. Don't know what that means. He began to unpack what that meant. Has anyone here ever been to Manhattan, New York City? You ever been to Central Park? You ever seen Central Park from the air though? This is Central Park from the air. This is pretty fascinating. Like, do you see how Manhattan is like built all around it? And then like right in the middle of Manhattan, there's this park. There have been some who have complained that why would you do nothing with all of that real estate? Like Manhattan, like do you realize that Manhattan, it costs like $1,000 per square foot? It is the most expensive real estate in the world. So I mean, look at all this. Can't we do something with just take a little off the top, right, and build some more real estate? Can't we do that? Someone said that Central Park was an intentional move placed in the middle of Manhattan to stop Manhattan from eating itself alive. You see, if they didn't put this pause in the middle of Manhattan, that's exactly what would happen. We'd build more buildings and more buildings and more buildings and more buildings, and there would be no space in Manhattan. If you've been to Manhattan, you've been to New York City, and you've walked on the streets, oh my goodness. It is a madhouse. I mean, it's like, whoop, 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 whoop. The cars and the people walking, like it's like in sync. They know when to stop, when to go. They don't get, I mean, it's just, it's incredible. But in the middle of that madness, Central Park, rest. And so what this preacher's mentor was telling him is that, dude, your life is like Manhattan. You need to go to the park and you need to rest. I wish you could feel it right now. Like my shoulders up here feels like this wooden table. It's tense. Because I'll be honest with you, church, I don't have a lot of Central Park in my life. I mean, just yesterday, I signed up for a gym membership so I can go to the gym and work out and play some basketball and do some Central Park stuff. I have a time in scripture and prayer. I do that kind of consistently and faithfully. Church is just not enough. I need some Central Park. How many people here could use some Central Park in their life? So where do we begin to unsubscribe from hurry? The first place, church, I think we ought to start. I think it's contained in the songs that we were singing today. It's trust. Is trust. Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our rest. It starts with trust in God. Place our hope and trust in God with all the noise and chaos that forces our hand to be in a hurry. We have to enter a season of resting in God's love and in God's care. Trust Him and be still. We need to learn to breathe. We need to learn to breathe, and we need to learn to relax. There are moments in my life where I've been doing a bunch of this all day, and there are moments, usually I'll sit in the car, you know, after a long day. There are times, you know, elders will have meetings sometimes at night, and, you know, and everyone leaves, and I'll stay in the parking lot. And if it's been a particularly long day, I'll usually just sit in the car and just do one of these. And I'll just sit there and listen to the radio and relax. And relax. We need to have more of those moments in our lives where we just learn how to breathe. I know some of y'all do yoga and some other meditation thing. If that's what you do, I don't care. Do something to learn how to breathe and create space in your life. Our lives were not created to be on the constant go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Trust. Learn to breathe. Whew, here's a hard one for me. Learn this important word. You ready? No. No. Hey, could you? No. No. Now, the flip is not necessary. Don't say no to everything. But if you know that you have had it, you know that you're fried, say no. Now, I appreciate that. Many of you appreciate, you know, like my schedule, and you'll often ask me and double check, are you sure, Dion, you sure? I want you to know that I am learning to say no. And there are times that many of you have asked me to do things, and I've said, I can't, or no. I don't want you to get paranoid after this sermon and say, I'm not asking Dion for anything. No. But I must tell you that a healthy implementation of the word no is going to help us with hurry sickness. Sometimes we just have to say no. Jesus, there were times he said no. There were times the crowds were encroaching on him, and he said, take me to the other side. I got to go. And he had some time, and then the crowds found him, and then he said yes. But do you see that he took some time for himself? It's okay to say no. And last, and maybe the simple, most simple of all, we, church, have to learn how to rest and slow down. We're just missing way too many things in life because we don't slow down, and we don't know how to rest. And I can assure you, I think we can assure one another that there's so many things in life that we could enjoy more deeply and have a greater appreciation if we would just slow down. Michael Eric Dyson, who's a author, professor at Georgetown University. He's a Baptist preacher. On Twitter, I follow him on Twitter, and he posted a video And in the video, he said, it was 2 weeks ago that I preached a sermon of my 56-year-old brother, preached a funeral of my 56-year-old brother. He said, the last time he called me, I was rushing to get ready to go catch a flight. And I saw him calling me, and I said to myself, I'm in a hurry. I gotta go catch this plane. And he never talked to his brother again. His brother passed away. Michael Eric Dyson said, slow down and take the call. There are things, church, that we are missing in our relationships with each other and in our relationship with God because we're in a hurry. Slow down. Slow down. Learn how to rest. Come to Jesus and have some Central Park time. And learn from him the unforced rhythms of grace. And he will teach you, he will teach us how to recover our lives. And if we are going to do some things to save time, with the time that we have gained from saving time, might we use that to spend some time with God, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit? Might we use that time to spend with each other? Might we use that recovered time to connect to God, to connect to people, and to connect to purpose? Let's pray. Oh, holy God, we're tired. And we're tired of having to be in a hurry. Father, certainly a lot of our hurriedness and rush is brought upon by our own procrastination and lack of planning. And I think we all get that. But God, a lot of our hurriedness is because we think that that's what we need to be doing. We become addicted to busyness because somehow we think that that demonstrates productivity or significance. God, show us in the quiet. Show us in the quiet that there is much to gain. There is much to recover in rest. So, Father, whether it's through recovering a personal Sabbath in our lives where we realize and recognize that our bodies have not been built to be on go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. God, help us to see it, to experience it. God, help us to unsubscribe from hurry. Father, for the weary and the tired soul in this audience right now, I pray that you would give them rest. Your burden is light, and your yoke is easy. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing another song of stillness. If they're in the singing of this song, you're moved to inquire to the church about this rest, or you just need us to surround you and pray for you. If you're hurting right now for whatever reason, we want to surround you and pray for you. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, it's an open invitation for you to come and to follow Jesus Christ, to say that he is my Savior, he is my Lord, he is my master, he's my king, he's my everything. It's an open invitation for you to make that great confession, that great profession. It's an open invitation for you to enjoin him through the ministry of baptism. It's an open invitation for you to participate in community with this body of Christ at the Reynoldsburg Church. We would love to have you as a part of this body. So if there's any way that we can serve you today, please come as we sing this song.